Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Rent to Retirement community. Let's talk a little bit about market analysis and how to determine the right market to invest in. This is probably the topic that prevents people the most from taking action on investing. Is they do one of two things. They either invest just in their local market because that's what they feel comfortable with and that's what they know, or they look at all the markets that they're trying to invest in, and there's just too much to choose from, and they don't do anything. At least with investing locally, at least you're doing something, even though you have a high likelihood that you can be more successful investing in other markets, because there's many markets out there and it's quite dynamic, always changing, in terms of opportunity. The worst thing you can do is do nothing. And that just falls into the analysis paralysis of the shiny object syndrome, looking at multiple different markets or different investment opportunities, and there's just too much to choose from. And so really what we want to do today is we want to drive home how to identify the markets that are best for your goals. And really, I want to encourage you not to overcomplicate this either. What we'll be talking about is key indicators, key things that you can pay attention to identify what is going to allow you to be a successful investor long-term. And then secondly, what markets are congruent with your goals. And so a lot of this is Rent to Retirement. We've already done the heavy lifting for you to determine a group of markets that at least we can provide information to you on that have the criteria that we have established to allow you to set yourself up for success long-term. Same thing that we've done over time. And we're just going to share that with you. Now, regardless if you invest in those markets or other markets, I think there's a lot of key things you can take from those markets to apply in your analytics. And then we'll also talk about where do you actually get information and how do you verify things in the local markets. But I want to make one thing clear. My wife and I, when we were investing, the one key thing that has allowed us to exceptionally excel in our investing career is when we determined we were going to invest in areas based on our criteria and where we saw the best investment opportunity, not just investing locally because that's what we knew and felt comfortable with and had been doing. And most successful investors that we talk to, or almost all of them pretty much, have a diversified portfolio across multiple markets, multiple asset classes. Diversification is key. But really for us, once we stepped outside of our comfort zone and learned how to invest in multiple different locations, that was paramount in expediting our investment success. And I think really if I had to attribute our investment success to one thing, it is probably that. It's probably focusing on markets and learning how to analyze and build teams in different markets where there's best opportunity, not just our local market. So I think I've hit that point home enough. Let's get into the details. So really, when we determine what is the best investment market, we look at a few key essential things. The first thing we look at is landlord-friendly legislation. And a lot of people ignore this. And I want to make this clear. You can be successful in any market in the U.S. If you have the right strategy and approach. I'm not here to, shun certain markets or say certain markets are not, you're never going to be successful, because there are successful investors in those locations. But generally, when we think about building a strong portfolio long-term, that's going to set you up for sustainability and success, it's really these key indicators that we're talking about. So when we talk about landlord friendly legislation, this really comes down to being able to evict your tenant, being able to protect you as a landlord, and also being able to charge the rent that you want to. We don't want to be in rent controlled areas. That's becoming increasingly more important, is the rent control. And then lastly is how do you vet tenants? How are you, the terms of the lease, that's all important to be familiar with. And these are things when you're entering into a new market, you do need to be familiar about, because these will affect your success long-term. For example, there are some states, and I'm not going to try to point out states to, say that they're not great markets to invest in, but there are some areas where, there's statewide rent control on throughout the entire state. And there's also areas where if you have to go through an eviction process, that is a year-long process or longer. We've heard horror stories about that. Think about that. Think about a year of fighting a tenant while they're just living for free, squatting in your property, probably not taking care of your property, probably racking up utility bills, and you can't even evict them. And then you have to go through the litigious process with the attorney, paying likely tens of thousands of dollars that can set you back decades, right? And so that's why it's really important. So when we talk about landlord-friendly legislation, we like to be in areas where, you know, we can have set up the lease appropriately, we can vet tenants appropriately to be in favor of us. And then if we have an unfavorable situation with a tenant, we can deal with it in an efficient manner. I think that's really important. So landlord-friendly legislation is huge. The other thing we need to look at is taxes. This may not be so relevant right out of the gates, but as you grow your portfolio, as your rents continue to increase, as you build equity in a property and you're looking at potentially liquidating that, state taxes are really important, both from an income standpoint, you know, how the property is being, how it's producing income, and state taxes. There's a lot of areas that are getting into the double digits, unfortunately, in state taxes. And as you grow your net worth, this certainly becomes more important to think about, because your tax bracket continues to go up and that becomes increasingly more impactful. We really like real estate because of the tax benefits that we get access to. And so being conscious of areas that have favorable tax structures for businesses and also for rental properties and just income taxes in general, those are really important things to look at. There's a lot of states. Most of the states we operate in have no taxable income, no state income tax. That's important. But there's a lot of different states that have different tax structures as well, you know, and have different rental property regulations. So it's not just national taxes you need to be familiar with, but also state taxes. And this is where it becomes important to have the right tax strategist, CPA and attorney on your end. And so, you know, we provide access to the people that we use and have trust in and for our investment portfolio. And so that's something to look at as well. The next thing and the most important thing probably for success long-term is just supply and demand, right? These are simple metrics to look at, like, you know, what is the inventory supply? What I would encourage you to look at is both a snapshot of historical data, what's been happening over the past 5 to 10 years, and what are key indicators in terms of what's going to happen over the next 5 to 10 years. And so really to evaluate this, and this is something we always do, you look back at historicals and then you look at things that are happening moving forward. For example, we would want to look at what the rental increases have been year after year. What has the inventory supply been? What is the average leasing time frame? And we'll talk about towards the end of this video of like how to find out this information. Right now, we're just talking about what information do we need to know to look at to fully evaluate a market. So supply and demand is huge, and there's some key points that we would look at in terms of like average leasing time in the area. What have rental increases been over the past 5 to 10 years? And I would do this as specific as you can for a market. If you're looking at a large metropolitan area, say Cleveland, for example, like you would want to look in specific zip codes and areas. And there are ways to find detailed information on the area that you're going to invest, because that can make a huge dramatic difference, right? Not all areas of Cleveland or any metropolitan area are equal. There are areas that have significantly more investment opportunity. And so that's when we talk about looking at a macroeconomic scale, like parts of the country, identify the state, start macro and work to micro, look at different details. And, you know, often if you take that approach, you'll at least give you a general idea. One, give you a good understanding of the area, but it'll also give you the key data points that you need to be comfortable with as you learn. And that's what you're doing. You are learning how to evaluate markets. And then as you invest in that area, because you can only learn so much until you buy a property and you continue to learn. And I think that's really when you solidify the information, is when you own and operate a property in that area, you really get to become comfortable. Even if you're buying turnkey and being bad, just having a monthly conversation, a monthly check-in with your property manager, you will learn a tremendous amount. And that will have an impact on where to invest in the future. Other things we look at are diversity of industries. We never want to be in an area that's solely reliant on one main industry: oil or gas, automotive, government, like military bases. They can shut down bases and move. We've seen that. You know, so we don't want to have just one area to focus on. We want to see diversity of industries. We want to see population economic growth. This is an important thing. And when we talk about growth, it's not. Often people look back over the past year. Again, do not look over just the past year, because it is normal for a market, even markets that have strong growth, to have this type of graph where it goes up and then stagnates, even maybe dips a little bit, goes up. But if you look at a trend over a long period of time, it's actually a very, on a linear scale, it shows very dramatic growth. But if you just looked at that 1 year where it was stagnant or had a small dip, like you're inappropriately looking at the data. You need to be a statistician in this stuff. And that's boring to a lot of people, myself included, but it's necessary. It's necessary to understand the trends. And we want to be in areas that have, over the course of the past 5 to 10 years, strong growth, and understand like what is coming into these areas, these large employers, Fortune 500 companies that are creating jobs. City planning meetings are important too. Like that's one thing we have a lot of our local team do is attend city planning meetings and provide us a detailed report. Like what is a economic outlook for this area? Where is transportation going? You know, what big employers like FedEx or Amazon or some of these large or government facilities that are being, or sports facilities that are being developed, that's going to create tens of thousands of jobs. That's really important to understand over the next decade of where that's being in the path of progress and certainly things you want to look at. And none of these are in a specific order. Just know that these are all just key important things to then make sure you have an understanding of. Summary, yes, no, right? Like for me, I would not invest in, is it landlord friendly? Yes, no. Does it have favorable tax structure? Yes, no. And then some things are going to be on a spectrum and you just kind of determine, you match the spectrum to your investment criteria and you need to reverse engineer this. So we want to look at, obviously we want to be in areas that have positive income and cash flow. And so the rent to price ratio, that is a metric that most people should be familiar with. And if you're not, just Google that and understand the rent to price ratio. It's very easy, right? If you had a property that costs $100,000 and rent on a monthly basis is $1,000 a month, that's a 1%. Rent to price ratio. And that's something we hear about a lot. Now, typically we're not seeing 1% in the most markets we're investing in. We're usually between like 0.7 to 0.85%, but we're in good areas. And so you're balancing out being in a good area because on paper, you can look at sometimes a 2% where you buy a $50,000 house that's renting out on Section 8 tenant at $1,000 a month. But what you're not seeing is how that tenant's moving every year, every 6 months, damaging the property. You have a ton of turn costs and it's just a managerial nightmare and it doesn't perform well. But generally, when you're looking at a 1% rule, I mean, most things are in that 75.75% rent to price ratio, but you just need to run the numbers, right? Don't just, that is never buy on metrics. But when we talk about, you know, rent to price, it's less of like a calculated ratio, but just understand you can still cash flow in these areas. We want to be cash flowing, obviously, in these areas to support the investments. And there's a lot of things to consider, what type of financing you're using. So we want to be in areas where you generally have a strong growth in the market. You have a reasonable barrier to entry, a reasonable home purchase price. We've been very successful in the Midwest and Southeast and a lot of markets we focus on in your B-class median house price point of like under 300,000. You know, we've done quite well in a lot of those markets and we've had strong appreciation, great cash flow throughout those areas, but that varies market to market. So most of the properties, at least that we're focusing on with rent to retirement and personally buying, are in that $150,000 to $200,000 price point in the Midwest, you know, typical B-class four bed or three bed, you know, two bath or whatever the case is, your bread and butter rental, that's going to produce a 15%, 12 to 15% cash on cash return based on financing, depending on financing. Whereas in the Southeast, where you have maybe new construction or larger price, so as a median house price point might be 350 there. Maybe have rents in the $2,500 to $2,800 range. So the cash on cash would be a little bit lower there. But the point is, it's still positive cash flow and we have stronger growth, say in the Southeast. So we might have a 10 to 12% year after year appreciation, even in a slightly down market, and rents are increasing more dramatically because of the demand, the supply and demand. So those are all things to really understand. So I think those are kind of the key metrics to look at, but really it also comes down to your goals, right? I don't want to discount this aspect. Is you need to understand your goals and how they match the market. There's a lot of markets to look out there where you can just have, I mean, you want to be diversified across different markets. And there's a lot of markets that are really attractive that you maybe want to invest in, but you need to be realistic based on your goals. And then you also need to understand how can you build a portfolio quickly. Scalability is the name of the game. You're going to hear that again and again, and I want to drive that point home with you. So you need to look at a set amount of capital and how do you structure it the most, and then how do you diversify over time. Just because you choose one market to invest in today does not mean that is not the only market you're going to be investing in for a lifetime, and likely you're going to be diversifying across multiple markets, as we would encourage you to do so. But the most important thing is, like, today, what are your immediate goals and how does this impact your long-term goals? Identify the market that fits your goals and criteria that checks off your buy box. I would write this out, you know, what is my criteria? And then start identifying markets and saying, fitting them into, yes, this is a market to explore further, or no, this is not. And of course, we're happy to share market data and research with you with any of the markets that we focused on, and then start diving into those areas and identifying properties and purchasing them and taking action. But really, you need to match the market with your goal. If you had $100,000 to invest and say you're using your typical conventional financing, you could maybe buy one, maybe two properties at the higher price point in the Southeast called new construction, which would have stronger growth year after year. And, you know, with appreciation and rental increases, or you might be able to buy three or four Midwestern properties using 20% as a down payment. And so you need to understand, like, if you had zero properties, is it going to make more sense for you to own more doors where you can cash flow more immediately to save up more down payment and stretch your capital further? Or is it important for you to, you know, invest in new construction that has a longer, better long-term potential outlook with less volatility in the meantime, but also less cash flow and more money down? We cannot answer that question for you. Only you can do that. But you need to be able to be comfortable running the numbers, evaluating the market, and then making a decision based on that. As far as resources on where to find the information, census data is probably the best go-to for government information. And once again, please do not look back at the past 1 to 2 years and say, oh, well, this market does not show growth over the past 1 to 2 years. Markets, no one is investing. You're not a house flipper. You are looking at the long-term outlook for your property. And so you really need to look at the very minimum, 5-year outlook. And I would say 10 years, past 10 years is even better. What has the past 10 years been doing in this area? If you show a general positive trend over the past 10 years, unless something has changed dramatically, which you should probably know about just by Googling market and the general news, unless something has changed dramatically with an employer or, like, you know, the local economy or something, that trend is likely slated to continue. And so the past 10 years will give a good indicator of what the next 10 years are going to look like in terms of just population and growth in that area, and rental increases and median home price points increases and average appreciation. So census data, this is all public information. Again, look at small local areas, not just a market as a whole. You can start macro, but then you really need to dial it down to, like, okay, what are the specific zip codes and areas that I'm looking at? And that gets a little bit more difficult when you're looking at census data. We have a ton of resources to share with you in our additional resources, and we'll include links to that in this video as well. But you can certainly look at other resources, Zillow and Redfin and Trulia. I mean, those are okay. Just understand, like, again, what data are you evaluating? Because a lot of times when people look at data, they don't understand what the input data is to come to that conclusion in the statistics. And then they're just assuming that they're looking up the information they're looking at when they're actually getting different information. I think neighborhoodscout.com is a great resource where you can get a lot of data collected on a very, like, block, sometimes block by block pace. Now, this is a paid subscription. I have no affiliation with Neighborhood Scout. I personally use them, use whatever resource. And if you guys have good resources that you utilize or you stumble across, please let us know. This is a community, and we want to share that with others as well to help everyone be more successful in their market evaluation. But neighborhoodscout.com is a good place where you can get, I mean, there's a free version where you can evaluate a neighborhood, and you do have to match it up compared to, like, Google Maps and things like this. But it gives you a lot of information about, like, neighborhood specifics. That's on the microeconomic scale, looking at schools and prime ratings. And again, a lot of those can be altered, or you need to be specific on where you're looking, but it does give you some economic information. Look at city planning meeting notes. That's also in most cases publicly posted now. That could be, you know, 90 days or 180 days in the rear of when those meeting minutes are posted. But just general Google searches and news about, you know, upcoming employers in the areas, that gives you some pretty good information as well. And we have a checklist that we go through when we're evaluating a market. There's two big things, and I guess I'll end with this. The market is important, but even what's more important than the market, because if you own a property long enough in a decent market, you will still do quite well. But what's even more important is a local team, right? Having a property manager, having the right people, the right financing in place, right insurance in place, the right people leasing the property and interviewing the tenants. Like, that is what's going to determine your success much more than a market is. Because you can be in the best market in the U.S., but if you don't have a good team managing that property or mismanaging it, then you may not be very successful in that investment. And so you got to marry those two things. You got to marry the right market with the right team, to your goals and your criteria. And that is a recipe for success. And then you rinse and repeat. And once you become comfortable evaluating a market and investing out of state, then it just opens up the door to the rest of the country, right? And just all the markets. No longer are you pigeonholed into investing in one specific market just because you own one property there, or you used to live there, or you currently live there. I would encourage you to really be intentional on writing out your goals and then find a market that matches your goal. Because often what you'll find is there's a handful of different markets. And then it becomes very easy to compare two or three different markets that match your goals. And then come to maybe there's just one differentiating factor or a price point difference or something like this that really allow you to determine what market is the right area to invest in. But ultimately, the biggest thing you can do is buy a property in that market. That's how you really solidify. If you've done general research, even if you spend 20 minutes doing what I said today, watching this video and spending 20 minutes evaluating a market, you will know more than 90% of people out there that are potentially looking to invest in this area, just with a little bit of intentional research. But ultimately, if you invest in that area, now you're becoming a market expert because you're learning the market out of necessity. And you're actually talking to boots on the ground people. That's one thing I didn't mention before, but calling different property managers and people that are investing in the market. Understand, if you call a bunch of real estate agents and brokers, like, they may try to sell you on something. And so it's always going to be an optimistic outlook. But attending, if you can fly out and visit those markets, even better. If you can attend local RIA groups, and you're going to get a lot of information just by listening and connecting with people that are investing in that market. I mean, that is paramount. But if you just do fundamental basic research, 20 minutes, you're going to know more than most. And you're going to probably have a good idea if it makes sense to invest in this market or not. But you got to pull the trigger and do it. And then you got to constantly, monitor investment and see how it's working out. And if you determine after 6 to 12 months that that's not a great market for you, guys, real estate is just a holding place for money. You can liquidate that property. Although I encourage you to just give it some time. If you've done some research and things, or you get a little hairy or you're getting concerned, just hold that property. So many times I've talked to investors that have sold properties they've had in the past because either it is a positive outlook, they had enough equity. They're like, oh, I want to cash in on it. Or, they had a tenant issue or things. They went through a 6-month turbulence in their investment portfolio in that area, and they decided they just wanted to cash in and get out of it. In both of those scenarios, talking to those people later and then seeing what those properties are worth 10, 15 years later, they're like, oh man, I wish I would have held that. So just keep that in mind, get through the obstacles, do a little bit of research, pull the trigger, and then rinse and repeat, guys. Don't overcomplicate it. This isn't rocket science. Investing has a proven path. It leaves breadcrumbs. And, just do what other people are doing that are successful. All right, guys. Thanks for your time.